Please be seated. Like I'm sure many of you, I absolutely love today's gospel reading. It's one of my all-time favorites. I wish, though, that in the lectionary we actually got the whole story, but I'll get to that part in just a minute. I love the story of the prodigal son so much because it is, as we all know, incredibly profound on so many levels. Its meaning for us today is truly based on which character we identify with. And the truth is that each of us have played the role of each of these characters at some time in our lives. Author and priest Barbara Brown Taylor writes a wonderful essay on this text, and some of what I have to say today is based on her writings. But I can't, though, fully communicate my own understanding of this parable without sharing a story from my life and one that I have told before. It was a time many years ago when I lost my daughter. Blair was 4 or 5 years old at the time, and Samantha was in a stroller then. And it was a beautiful spring day, and Lori was out of town, so I was going to be super dad and take them to this arts festival that was going on that weekend. It was a perfect thing to do. It was a beautiful day. The event was perfect for families, literally thousands of people. There was something for everyone. They had performers and dance crews and all kind of interactive activities for the kids, and all of it was set in this beautiful park. We were at the fountain, and it was kind of the centerpiece of the whole festival and of the park, and I ran into someone I knew, and I started a conversation. And then, in a matter of moments, I realized that Blair was gone. My heart stopped. It was one of those weird moments when, despite being surrounded by literally thousands of people, everything was silent. Everything was surreal. I had to find my daughter. My kind of emotional shock, I guess, was broken when a parishioner who I knew named Marilyn, who happened to be standing nearby and happened to work with the National Children's Advocacy Center, took charge. She immediately got on the phone with event security. Marilyn knew about child abduction, and she knew what to do. And frankly, child abduction was not anything I'd even considered at that point. I just thought Blair was lost. I was concerned about all the people that were there. I was concerned about the ponds and the streams in the park, and I had to find her. My heart was in my stomach. I grabbed someone else I knew who was standing nearby. I had them watch Samantha in the stroller, and I just started running. I just started running and screaming her name. I didn't know where I was going. There was no rhyme or reason to my direction. I just had to find her. And it seemed like hours, but truthfully, it was only a few minutes before I found her. She was as happy as a clam, sitting in a section of the park where children were drawing on the sidewalks with chalk. She'd drawn a picture of herself and her family and her home. She didn't even know she was lost. It is always from that perspective that I approach today's gospel lesson. This gospel story has probably logged more pulpit time than anything else in all of Scripture. And maybe because of that, just maybe, we've lost, I think, the radical sense of desperation that can be found in it. For some reason, our lectionary today skips over two other parables that are linked with this one. That are linked with this parable of the prodigal son. It skips over the parable about the lost sheep and the shepherd. The shepherd who leaves the 99 to go find the one. Because the one matters. And when he does find the sheep, he rejoices. Because the one sheep that was lost was important. Then there's a parable about the woman with 10 coins who loses one and literally turns the house upside down until she finds it, because the one matters. And when what is lost becomes found, there's rejoicing. And that is the kind of God I want. That's the kind of God I need. It's a God who recognizes that what is lost has worth and value and searches for it with the diligence and the desperation that I searched for my daughter. That's my kind of God. And I find comfort in that. But then there's today's parable, today's reading, the one that we all know and love. And it truly is a veritable theological theme park about being lost, being forgiven, offering forgiveness, redemption. You name it, it's here. And we're all there too. We hear the words, there was a man who had two sons, and we know where this is going. Despite the pigsties and the arrogance and the loose living, we know the boy's coming home. He always does. And it's here where we seem to somehow turn Holy Scripture into this self-help book, with the moral being, hey, no matter how badly you've messed up, pick yourself up. There's a ready supply of forgiveness waiting for you. You can start all over where you left off. Now let's party. But the truth is, this story, this parable of the prodigal son, isn't the same as the other two. In fact, in some ways, it seems to contradict them. In the parable of the prodigal son, there's no searching. There's no looking. There's no desperation. The father just waits, staring off into the distance. A sheep gets lost? Well, you drop everything till it's found. A coin gets lost? Forget everything else on the to-do list for today and search every nook and cranny of the house to find that sucker. But a son is lost? I just think I'll wait till he comes home. Doesn't really make sense, does it? And it occurs to me that maybe Luke isn't trying so much to describe how God acts in our life as he is trying to describe the breadth of who God is. I need that God who will search for me when I'm lost with the desperation that I searched for my daughter. But I also realize that I need that God who is willing to wait. To wait for me until I can come to know that I'm ready to be found. Because the truth is, sometimes we don't even know we're lost. And it is in the breadth of that godness that I believe you and I can come to know more fully the meaning of grace, because that's really what these parables are about. Grace. My friends, grace is offensive. We all want some assurances in life that right behavior and right belief count for something, and the notion of unmerited grace still bothers many of us a great deal. Of course, unless the recipient of that grace is us. Grace ought to have conditions. Most notably, repentance or maybe a little remorse. But that is not the story of the Bible. I'm not so sure that the prodigal son repented as much as he ran out of money and had nowhere else to go. I guess the same can be said for the lost sheep and the lost coin. There's no repentance there. Because at the heart of the gospel, no one is too far gone, too low, too bad to be removed from this unconditional love of God. Notice that the prodigal son does acknowledge his sins, but it's not his confession that triggers his father's love. It's the father's love that triggers the confession. The love of the waiting God. I read a story a while back that a friend had written about on a blog. It had run on NPR's Morning Edition. And I don't know if the story is true, but it was on the internet, so it must be. But it's a story of a man named Julio Diaz, who is a 31-year-old New York social worker. Diaz followed his hour-long commute routinely each day, and one evening, though, he decided to get off the number six train one stop early to eat at his favorite diner. And that's when his evening took an unexpected turn. As he walked toward the subway station stairs, a teenage boy approached him, pulled a knife, and demanded his money. Diaz gave the boy his wallet. And as the assailant began to run away, Diaz says, "Wait a minute. You forgot something. If you're going to be robbing people all night, you might as well take my coat to keep you warm." The young man looked at his victim like he was crazy and asked, "Why are you doing this?" And Diaz replied, "Well, if you're willing to risk your freedom and your life for a few dollars, then I guess you must really need the money. I mean, all I wanted to do was go get dinner. And if you want to join me, you're welcome to come." "I just felt like he really needed help," Diaz said. And remarkably, the boy agreed. And the unlikely pair walked into the diner and sat in a booth. Shortly, the manager came by, the dishwasher came by, the waiters came by to greet him. Diaz remembered the kid was like, "You know everybody here. Do you own this place?" "No," Diaz said, "I just eat here a lot." And the boy responded, "But you're even nice to the dishwasher." "Well, haven't you been taught to be nice to everyone?" Diaz asked him. "Yeah, but I didn't think people actually did it," the boy said. The social worker saw an opening. He asked the boy what he wanted out of life. And Diaz said he almost had a sad face. He couldn't answer, or he didn't want to. And when the bill arrived, Diaz told the teen, "Look, I guess you're going to have to pay the bill because you've got all my money. But if you give me my wallet back, I'll gladly treat you." The teen didn't even think about it and handed over the wallet, Diaz said. "So I gave him $20. I figured it maybe could help him out. But Diaz did ask for something else in return, and the boy gave it to him. It was his knife." Again, I don't know if that story's true, and I'm not sure I'd advise anyone to take similar action, but the truth is we humans aren't very good at grace, and maybe we're not expected to be. But sometimes grace so astonishes us that all we can do is change course. All we can do is repent and turn around. There are times, I know, when repentance seems to come first. But look more closely, and more often than not, you will see that it is the other way around. I need the God. I need the God who searches for what is lost with desperation. But I want you to notice something else about the parable. The prodigal son comes home. The father forgives, throws a party. The older son gets his feelings hurt. The father goes out into the field to console him, but never, not once, are we told whether either son had the courage to enter the doors of the house and join in that celebration. Grace may be freely given, but sometimes we just can't accept it. I need the searching God, but may each of us also give thanks for the waiting God. The waiting God whose grace once demonstrated and experienced can change everything about us. Everything. God love you. Amen.